Joining us now on the hotline from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette is Rick Noland. Rick, thank you very much for giving us some of your time. And, boy, I tell you, it really kind of looks like this first game. I know the Cavs haven't played in a while, but you had tweeted some interesting numbers out earlier about the Raptors and their lack of success in the first game of a series in the playoffs. I want to kind of give you some time now to kind of elaborate on what some of your research showed about just how bad the Raptors have been in game one in their playoff series.
Well, this will be their 13th playoff series in their existence. They were founded in 1995. Prior to last year, they had actually never won a playoff series. But in those 12 previous series, they've only won game one on one occasion, and I believe that was 2001 against Philly, and they went on to lose that series in seven. The thing they have in their favor is they lost game one against Milwaukee in the first round and came back and won that. They also lost game one last year to Indiana and Miami and won both of those series. Now, it didn't go so well when they played the Cavs. They dropped the first two, got back to even, and then lost in six. But, you know, I don't think it's a do-or-die thing for them to win tonight. And history says they won't if you believe in those things. But it's a new year. It's new teams, some new players, and we'll have to see what happens on the court.
Rick, we mentioned these two teams have played against each other a little bit here, quite a bit actually, over the last couple of years with the playoffs and all. Is there anything about the Raptors that makes them scary?
Well, I mean, they've added Serge Ibaka, and that gives them a mid-range threat, even a three-point threat, and a pretty decent defender. I don't think he's quite the defensive player of the year defender he used to be earlier in Oklahoma City. He seems to enjoy scoring now, and I think that it has in a little bit affected his defensive prowess. But they've also added PJ Tucker, who's a seasoned pro. Not going to give you a ton of points, but he's not going to beat you, and he's going to do little subtle things that can help you. But you know, when you get right down to it, this game is going to be decided. And this series will be decided by the stars. It's Cleveland's big three of LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love against, principally Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, and you can probably throw Ibaka into that mix as well. But, whoever gets the better performances there, more than likely is probably going to win this series. And I think the Cavs three are better than better than Toronto's three. So I it's not a lock, but I think the Cavs are a favorite in this series, and I think most people think that as well.
Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rick, you had mentioned that this will be decided by the stars. One of the stars I want to focus on for a second, you talked about DeRozan, and I know that a lot of emphasis has been put on how well J.R. Smith defends him could really determine how well the Cavaliers do, but I think you look at a pivotal matchup like that. Is it safe to say that in this series, what J.R. does defensively could mean more than what he does on the other end of the floor?
Yes and no, because I do think they need him to be more aggressive than he was in the first round against Indiana. He pump-faked himself out of a lot of shots in that series and put the ball on the floor, and the results often weren't very good once he did that. So when he has open shots, the Cavs want him to take them without thinking. Just hoist it up there. He's been a great shooter throughout his career. I do agree that his defense is going to be vital. But the Cavs have a big hole card, and that's LeBron James, because if these games are close in the final 4 or 5 minutes, I think you're going to see LeBron James guard DeMar DeRozan. Number one, he when superstars guard other superstars, they get away with a lot of things average players don't, in terms of body contact and reaching, leaning on people. Not to mention the fact that, LeBron is 6'8", 250, and extremely quick, and just has the natural physical attributes to be able to slow down DeMar. So J.R. will guard him the bulk of the time, but in crunch time with a game on the line, I think you're going to see that assignment switch, and LeBron will guard him. If he doesn't guard him, he's at least going to be the guy who they're going to send on double teams to help out. But I suspect he'll guard him in the closing minutes of close games.
Rick, of course, the Cavs are coming off a 4-game sweep of the Indiana Pacers, but all four of those games were fairly close. Pacers were right there with them. Is there anything that the team said they addressed with those games? Are they not worried about those games? A win's a win?
No, they were happy with the sweep. They were happy with large chunks of what they did. They also acknowledged that their fourth quarters weren't very good. I think the only one they won in that series was Game 3 when they completed the big comeback. They also know they continue to have lapses from time to time on both ends of the floor. You know, I don't think they want to see J.R. Smith trying to throw a behind-the-back pass in the closing seconds of a game that's still on the line again. I still don't know what was going on in that play. But I talked to J.R. yesterday, and I should have asked him. It just slipped my mind. But I think they just need they need the mental focus to be locked in closer to 48 minutes than it was in the first round in this series.
Well, Rick, we'll cut you loose on this. This is kind of unrelated, but
okay.
Rick's a very interesting follow on Twitter, so you get the chance. Follow Rick on Twitter, at Rick Nolan.
Hey, I say what comes to my mind at the time.
Yes.
If it's wrong 3 minutes later, most people have moved on to the next tweet anyway.
But so. It's a very entertaining follow, so if you don't follow Rick, you should, at Rick Nolan. 17 hours ago, you tweeted this. You can't be taken seriously.
Oh, God,
seriously.
I don't even remember. Yeah. I don't even remember what I tweeted. So.
You tweeted... You can't be taken seriously as an analyst when you refer to the team you are discussing as we. And then you followed it with a grr. Elaborate on that, please.
Well, it happened to occur. I think that post occurred about 11:35 or 11:40 last night.
Okay.
And I was watching. I'm a remote control freak. I watched seven shows at one time and none in their entirety. But I happened to be watching all the local 11:35 sports broadcast to come on after the regular news show is over, and in a span of 15 seconds I heard two people on a panel talking about the Browns draft refer to the team as we, and neither one of those people were an employee of the team, so that immediately it's one of my pet peeves. If I hear a so-called journalist use the word we to address a team they are covering, I immediately lose tons of respect. So that's what that had to do.
Well, I wanted to bring that up because I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, you hear that too much throughout the year, and I just wanted to give you a chance to explain that because, again, I could not agree anymore. I thoroughly enjoyed that tweet just because I read that and I thought, wow, gotta ask him about that because, again, I don't think I could agree anymore with that statement.
Well, next time I come on, you can find some more of my tweets that probably make a lot less sense and we can go over those. So.
Rick, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, that's Rick Nolan of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.